Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
What is going on, everybody? This is Nate Law. I'm going to be your lead host tonight for the Baseball Buffet. Our normal buddy Dave is out tonight enjoying his anniversary with his wife. Mike should be along shortly to join us, but until he gets here, I'm going to be leading the discussion with everybody tonight. So if you are out there, you are listening, you want to call in, talk a little baseball, you can catch us. You can join the conversation, 929-477-2759. Before we get into the baseball and what's going on around the baseball world, let's do a little business. The Sports City Chefs Baseball Buffet is brought to you by the fine people at PHI Apparel. For all those Philly fans out there, whether you're a Sixers fan, season unfortunately didn't quite get to where you guys wanted, but hey, really nice playoff run for the Sixers. Or if you're a Phillies fan out here looking to enjoy some Philadelphia Phillies baseball, get all of your apparel. We have some great stuff over there at PHI Apparel. Check them out and use the Sports City Chefs promo code. With that, I have my buddy here. Mike, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. What's going on, man? I was trying to jump in. I guess I didn't realize that you were jumping in before me. It only lets one host call in, so it wouldn't let me into the thing. But welcome, everybody, to
not
the baseball buffet. Ready to get it done. Dave, shout out to him, man. Like, he's got a wedding anniversary going on, so not with us tonight. Kind of a good thing. His Yankees are coming back to earth a little bit. They're still good, but we don't get to mess with them too much. We can go into that a little bit as we go throughout the night, but lots of action going on in baseball today. I saw you went ahead and gave PHI Apparel a shout-out really quick at the beginning of the show, right? What else have you said that I missed before?
You have caught everything. I was just letting everybody know that you would be on to join us. Give my own little shout-out to Dave. He did our PHI Apparel read-down, so we are ready. We've sung the
ready
national anthem.
The
ceremony of first pitch has been thrown out. So, Mike, lead us off. What is top of mind for you in baseball world today?
Well, so there's a few things, man. Like, and I thought, you know, it's funny because normally we try to get some ideas together. Today was kind of a hectic day, so I thought, Nate, we would just kind of toss this around. We just kind of almost like top and bottom of each inning, and we can kind of alternate. But I figured we could just sort of throw some topics out there, you know, that are on our brain and just kind of bounce some things around and get each other's perspective. How does that sound to me?
I think that sounds like a fantastic idea. I will let you lead off the discussion. What do you got? I saw one headline that I bet is top of mind for you, but I'll see where you go first before I throw it out.
Okay, so you give me that next. I just want to Because I honestly, I had not had the time to look at too many headlines today. So what I will say is a really quick shout out to, we said today, got Nate here, but the other chefs that make this possible, man. Listen, the head honcho, TP, the timeless wonder, man, the mothership show, if you will, the timeless Sunday morning brunch. He and I usually get this done every Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time, 10 Central. We try to, best as possible, cover things going on in the sports world. We did kind of hit baseball. He does a nice job of kind of going through standings, hitting records of where teams are and where we are. And so we kind of recap what's going on in the baseball world. But shout out to him. And the time of Sunday morning brunch on Sundays, Wednesday nights, we have the cookout as well. So just those are at least three of our shows we have going on. And we'll have some other things as it comes closer to football season. So just a quick shout out to all the shows that we do. So, like, leading off, like, okay, this is not the biggest headline of the day, but I want to talk rookies for a minute, like beginning of the show or whatever, you know. So I want to talk rookies. There's a couple of them that kind of jumped to my mind, but since you're a big Oriole fan, mate, I thought that I would bob something out here for you to start off. He's been up now for a couple of weeks. Tell me your thoughts, what you've seen so far from Mr. Adley Rutschman and any other young pitchers, but what do you see in Baltimore that you're – what do you think of these guys so far?
So I am loving Adley Rutschman so far. He's still hunting that first major league RBI, still hunting that first major league home run. He is actually currently at the plate in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Orioles are trailing the Mariners 8-0, and Adley just grounded out to the shortstop in the ship. So he's 0-3 on the night. You expect when a guy comes up, there's going to be some growing pains. So obviously he's not hitting 300, 400, anything like that. He is, I believe his batting average is probably around 167 coming into tonight, but I might have that number wrong. What's more impressive about him for me is I love watching the way he works behind the plate, the way he receives the ball. There are some people I know out there that really hate the concept of pitch framing. They claim that it's not a thing or that it, you know, that umpires don't buy it. I think it actually is a thing. You see all the time that there are catchers that are definitely stealing extra strikes for their pitchers. And the thing that I love about watching Adley behind the plate is just he's so, I guess the word would be soft when he receives the ball. Like there's not a whole, I don't notice a ton of movement in the glove. You know, the one that always sticks out in my mind is the catcher for the New York Yankees. You know, if there's a ball, if he's catching a ball that's like maybe an inch above the zone, as soon as he catches the ball, you see him ripping his hand down 6 inches to try and sell it as, oh yeah, that was right down the middle. It's like, you're not fooling anybody with that. But Adley, I'm not saying he doesn't move the glove. He definitely moves the glove, but it's, to me, it appears so subtle. Like it's just like that nice little twist of the wrist to get the width of the glove back into the zone. He's so calm and composed back there. It's a huge change from what the Orioles were looking at in terms of their batteries, their catchers that they had the last couple of years when they had Pedro Severino and Chance Sisko and guys like that back there. But on the offensive side of the ball, yeah, he's still looking for that first home run, still looking for that first RBI, as I mentioned. But the other thing that is really important, if he were to qualify, he would be among the major league leaders in pitches seen per at-bat. He's seeing almost 5 pitches per plate appearance. He is a very, very patient hitter. And that's why it doesn't bother me really that he's hitting below the Mendoza line in the first couple of weeks he's been up. Because when you're a patient hitter and you know what you're looking for, you're going to get your hits. But he knows how to put the bat on the ball and he knows what he wants to hit. He's going to be just fine. And I am excited to see where the rest of this year ends up for Adley Rutschman. Now, sticking with the rookie concept, and I'll let you give your thoughts if you have them on Adley Rutschman, but I'm looking at a headline that has to be right up your alley. The Atlanta Braves called up their own top prospect over the weekend, Michael Harris, the second ball, straight up from a short stint at Double A after he played most of last year at high single A. So he's they have him skipping a level and calling him up pretty early. What are your thoughts on Harris?
Well, I definitely want to get to Harris, and then we're going to go across the diamond in that game, in that same game that you were just talking about with Baltimore, because that's the guy right now that is really grabbing my attention in Major League Baseball as far as rookies go right now. So Michael Harris had a huge spring training a couple years ago, like lit it up in spring training. And if you remember, there was a guy in the Braves system, and I don't know if this guy, I think he's still in the minor leagues. I don't think he was part of any of the trades that they made in the offseason. But there's a guy who was supposed to be that next guy in the Braves farm system by the name of Drew Waters. And he was supposed to be the next big thing as far as outfield prospects go. But he still hasn't quite made that extra jump. And then a couple years ago, at spring training, Michael Harris really caught everybody's eye. Very eye-popping, really, with smashing the ball at spring training, hitting long home runs. And that was, so we're talking 2020, that would have been pandemic season, right? Like, so he comes out, he really impresses in the spring, and then, of course, everybody has to go home, and all that goes down. But Harris is a guy that really, he made a big jump. He's a local boy. He's a Georgia kid. And then last year he struggled early in the season, but he was a guy that, you know, from everything that I'd seen a couple years ago, I kind of got into a spot where I believe that, I mean, maybe Waters will be that guy at some point, but I had convinced myself or believed that the ceiling for Harris was definitely higher than the ceiling for Waters, right? And so last year, Harris struggled a little bit in the early season. And then he kind of starts to turn it around later in the year. Has a nice minor league season, but big growth. And listen, the Braves gave up a lot for Matt Olson. You gave up Pache, who could be a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. You gave up Shea Langelier, who could be a Gold Glove caliber catcher. So you gave up a lot in the middle right there. And there's not as much major league ready talent in that system right now. A lot of those young arms have been called up, right? Like Kyle Wright, and those are the guys. So a lot of these guys have been called up recently. And so the highest rated position player of the group is Michael Harris. And I didn't see this coming. I thought there was a possibility that he would be up at some point this year. I didn't see it coming right now, but I think that the Braves are figuring out what I thought all along. Adam Duvall is a good defensive outfielder, but he's a very good corner outfielder. He's a stopgap in center field. Adam Duvall is not a speed demon. He's a smart player, but he's not an everyday center fielder. He can't cover center field like Mullins and some of those other guys. He makes up for it a lot of times by sound positioning and that kind of stuff, and he's a veteran. He's been around for a while. But the Braves really wanted to upgrade their outfield defense, and that's why they went ahead and made the call. Michael Harris can play center. He can cover ground out there. He's got speed. He's a fantastic defensive outfielder. And what this allows you to do is put Duvall at a corner. You have Acuna in right when he can play in the outfield. And that also takes Marcelo Zuna, who's not a very good outfielder, and makes him the DH. Now when Eddie Rosario gets back, you know, he can play out there. Duvall is really, really struggling. The Braves gave him that contract because of what he was able to do. Listen, he's been released by several teams or let go by several teams. And so he wins the RBI title last year. He's given the jobs. Now we got Harris out there. Like I said, his bat appears to be coming right. He doesn't look overmatched right? Like, he's not seeing a ton of pitches, but he's making contact, grounding out some. He's got, he hit an extra base hit the other day. The ceiling's really high for this kid. He's very, very young. I didn't think this call would be, like I said, made so soon, but he improves your outfield defense. He can cover ground in center field better than anybody you have on your major league roster. And you know what, Nate? They're going to put him in the ninth spot, right? So you're going to put him, let him bat ninth, and just leave him alone and say, you know what, guy, just play defense for us. We know you got some pop in your bat, so that'll be extra. But just play defense for us, and you're going to stick for a while. So, I mean, what a cool deal for this kid, though. Local boy, you know, to come up and play for the hometown team. You know, I don't think Michael Harris is more than 23 years old right now, 22, 23 years old. He's a young kid. So, you know, got to be exciting. He said how surreal it was the other day. Come in and see his name, you know, his jersey hanging up on a locker, and be called up and be able to make that debut at home. Like, that's got to be a cool experience for the kid and the family coming, you know, right down the road to watch him play. You know, it kind of makes me think back to when you had local products like McCann and Francoeur come up years ago, right, being local kids. So, listen, it's exciting. See that happen? You're coming in, you're playing for the defending world champs, who are actually drawing now. The Braves are like third in attendance right now in major leagues, which is pretty impressive. So I'm curious to see what he can do. He's got some pop. He's got, because he hasn't ever done AAA yet, you know, how he handles pitching. As you know, Nate, this is a game of adjustments, right? Like, as soon as you adjust, they adjust too. So can he continue to make those switches and learn on the major league level? We'll find out. But I think he's with an organization that does a pretty good job of taking care of its players.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just looking at his stat line, and you pretty much nailed it. Looks like he's off to predictably, you know, you got a young kid. He's hit through nine at bats. Looks like he's got about, like, what, 1 for 9? But probably, I'd imagine he's probably starting out in center field tonight. So maybe he'll get a couple of hits and make that slash line look a little bit sexier for him. I do want to correct one thing. I think I said Adley Rutschman was hitting 167. I need to fall on my sword and apologize. I'm selling him way short. He's actually hitting 200. So he is at the Mendoza line coming into tonight's game.
That's not way short.
Now, yeah, I'm really underselling my guy here. Now, you said you wanted to talk about a guy on the Mariners. Hit me with it. Who's our rookie on the Mariners?
Me
that's
and
your eye?
Julio out by the schoolyard, man. Listen, if you check, he didn't even, you know, he came up to start the season. They put him in that lineup, and now, if you look at the AP or you look in your local papers, you see like the major league leaders in different stat categories. You'll see Julio Rodriguez pretty high in steals, pretty high in hits. This guy, yeah. People talked about it coming in, but this guy is a major league ready bat. And as the season continues to unfold, he's starting to show it more and more. I haven't looked yet to see what he's done yet tonight, but I'm very impressed with what I've seen so far this season out of Julio Rodriguez. Have you watched him at all, Nate?
I've been watching tonight's game, but I have not taken specific notice. Next time he's off the plate, I'll make sure that I'm paying very close attention to his ABs. I should be able to pull you the
lines
for right now, though.
If he comes up tonight while we're on the show, it'd be fun to hear your thoughts on what you see from him. And I'm going to double check it as we go throughout this show and take a look at, make sure that Harris is playing center field tonight. I'm quite sure he is. As we go along tonight. So any other rookies really jumping out at you right now, or that you really feel like really pointing to or highlighting right now as we're kind of talking about the young kids, the young whippersnappers to start the show tonight?
Well, I know that there's guys that are banging on the door to get into Baltimore. Well, first you got Kyle Bradish, who got knocked around in Boston over the weekend, but I still like Bradish. I think he's actually pitching fairly well, his last outing aside. And since his debut, which I think we talked about
2 weeks ago when we talked about his start in St. Louis, and he has kind of come back down to earth off of that initial start, somewhere run-of-the-mill average outings before Boston got to him. But, you know, it's Boston. It's Fenway. They came into that weekend series scored 36 runs or something in their three games prior to the Memorial Day five-game series against Baltimore. And then they turned around and they lost 3 out of 5. So there you go. Like, yeah, Boston getting hot, and then they ran into the buzzsaw that is Baltimore. But you got some other guys that are – it's weird, Mike. The guys who are really catching my attention right now, they're not even at the major league level yet. There's – you know, sticking with what I know in my hometown farm, you got Grayson Rodriguez just absolutely destroying AAA Norfolk right now, although don't hold me to that if he didn't have a good game. I know he did really well on Friday. I don't know what he did since Friday, if he's pitched at all. Kyle Stowers is hitting the ball. Gunnar Henderson for the Orioles is just tearing the cover off the ball, trying to get that promotion from AA to AAA. But here's another name. I'm going to step out of Baltimore that's catching my eye. Cody Clemens, the heir apparent to Roger Clemens. He is getting ready to make his Tigers debut. So there's a name that's going to be worth watching when he comes up with Detroit. But what about you? What other young guys around the league have caught your attention? I mean, I haven't paid terribly close attention to Bobby Witt. I know that he started off scuffling and got himself into a nice little hitting streak, and it looks like maybe now he's kind of leveling up between the highs and lows. What other guys have jumped off the page at you besides the ones that we've talked about already?
Yeah, Bobby Witt is definitely coming around for sure. As a matter of fact, they've got him out of third base. They've moved him over to shortstop. The last few times I've looked up, he's been hitting third in that Kansas City order. So he's really starting to settle in, I think. You know, you mentioned upcoming guys. I also heard that Riley Green is about to really start working on a rehab assignment, and he's a guy that is very, very highly thought of in the Tiger system. Center field prospect that should be on his way up very soon as well. The Tigers, much like the Orioles, man, they've kind of struggled. Now they've kind of surpassed Kansas City in that division. But much like the Orioles, man, they've got a lot of guys that are on the verge as they've really been working on that rebuild. So I'm definitely interested to see what we get out of Riley Green. Jose Miranda's getting some run. He was the Twins minor league player of the year last year. And so he's come up and getting a little bit of play. So, and then there's the guy in St. Louis, Gorman, playing some second base. He's got some pop in his bat. The question with him is going to be strikeouts, but he's got a good bit of pop in his bat. So, you know, what we can get out of him will be interesting to see. So those are a couple of guys that are really sort of jumping out to me right now. And then with Gregorius being out, of course, that Bryson Stott from Philly playing some shortstop for them. But there's several guys, man, but those are the rookies that really jump out to me. Now, did you have another headline, or were you going to talk about the Harris? Was that the one you were referring to earlier?
Harris was the headline that I was going to throw at you there to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
That's what I wanted.
I got you. So
you read
right
my mind. You read my mind on where I was going to go.
Oh, cool. So that kind of covers what we got going on there as far as rookies in baseball. We've also started seeing some rookie pitchers come up. You mentioned the guy, you know, a couple of guys in Baltimore. So a lot of good young arms. Listen, I think the game is actually in very good hands. I think we're transitioning to this next wave of guys, and we got some veterans as well. So I actually like where the talent level is in the game of baseball right now. Now let's whip around, and the next thing I was going to point out is if you look. We talked about the Yankees' fast start, and we talked about, you know, the biggest thing for them was that it got them, you know, at least gives them a little bit of a cushion. They've kind of started to come back down to earth a little bit. They were 5-5 in their last 10 going into Sunday. You know, we're starting to see some injuries now, right? We have Stanton out. Miguel Andujar had to come up, right? And so we're starting to see a few injuries from that Yankees team. We'll see if they can get people back and healthy at some point. Stanton is on that. Is on the disabled list. I think I read that this was the fourth straight season that he's ended up on the DL so far this year. The fourth straight season he spent time on the DL. So we'll see if he can get himself together and get back and be healthy. So, but if you look across the board, the Dodgers are creeping up on them, right? Like the Dodgers are right there now with one of the best records in the game. Now they're gonna catch them very soon. If not, yeah, they were only a half game back as of Sunday for the best record in baseball. The Dodgers are really playing some very good ball right now. Your thoughts about just sort of overall standings and what we got going on?
Yeah, the Dodgers were just in Pittsburgh, weren't they? No, I'm thinking of the Padres. The Padres were in Pittsburgh over the weekend. Well, let me.
Right.
I swear I saw a Dodgers score come across my phone, but that could be from any number of teams that I get alerts on. Oh. Yeah, I mean, let's see. Just a quick look. The AL East, I mean, your hottest team in the AL East right now is Toronto, who's just very quietly, like, they're just going about their business. They're now 27-20. They've won their last 5, 7-3 in their last 10. Everybody else in the AL East just kind of playing right around 500 ball, which, as an AL East fan, I'm loving that. It means that my team's hanging right in the balance there. I mean, we're not close in terms of win-loss, but I think the Orioles were so much better at this point in the year than everybody expected us to be. Other than that, I mean, I believe the Blue Jays do have the longest active win streak. Yeah, the Mets have won four in a row. Blue Jays have won 5 in a row. Who else is streaking here? The Brewers just got done playing. The Brewers just wound up in Chicago yesterday. So we'll see if they stretch their win streak from 3 to possibly 5 or 6. I'm actually going to that game tomorrow, so I will report back on how that goes.
We set in the space just a week or two ago. Watch out for the Blue Jays. I think their bats are going to start to warm up. And listen, one guy that has been really, really good for the Blue Jays so far this year in that rotation is Alek Manoah. He has given pretty much a quality start every time out. He's pitching very, very well. So I'm impressed with what we're seeing out of him. He's making a huge jump from what he was last year. We saw it. Last year his numbers were good, a little bit inconsistent, but so far this year, man, he's been one of the most consistent starting pitchers in baseball. Very impressed with what I've seen out of him so far this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And now here's something that I just noticed, and it sparks a question for me. The Angels have lost their last 5. They're 3-7 in their last 10. I know that we've spoken about it on this show about how we were impressed by the Angels' hot start. Aside from Trout and Ohtani being Trout and Ohtani, it looked like the Angels might finally have some semblance of pacing. They looked like they were going to hang in that AL West race. They've lost 5 in a row. They currently sit four games back of Houston, who has seemingly grabbed the mantle here. They always say you can't win your division in May. Do you think you can lose your division in May? Like, is this – have the Angels – am I overreacting by saying the Angels on this five-game losing streak and being four games back at Houston, can we write their epitaph? Are they done? Or can they come back and make this a race?
Yes, you're overreacting right now. But I don't necessarily think that that means that you're wrong. I haven't – listen, if they continue to spiral, they could still lose this division. You can lose it in May. You can lose a division in April if you really get off to too slow of a start. But they're not super far back. You know, we've seen teams overcome 7-8-game, 9-game deficits even at the All-Star break. The Angels have had some guys banged up. They're starting to get these guys back. You know, for a few days there, you either had to go with Ward or Ohtani because Ward had an injury flare-up, and so he wasn't able to play in the field, so he was going to have to DH, and you can't have two designated hitters, right? So, so he is – but he's back in the lineup tonight and in right field. Joe Maddon has had to sort of be creative and try to patch things together for that Angel squad, but I think getting Ward back and being able to put him in the outfield is going to make a difference. We'll see over the course of this season, you know, if their pitching can hold up. That, I mean, that's the thing. We've known that they were going to have the offense, but now you also have Rendon on the IL again. We talked about Rendon not necessarily being able to stay healthy, and same thing's kind of happening now, right? He's got a wrist injury, so he's gone to the IL. And so, listen, when you take a couple of bats out of that lineup, it becomes different. And, you know, now that you got Ward back at least, now you have Ward and Ohtani and Trout and Marsh and some of those guys in that lineup. So, you know, maybe they'll kind of start to settle in again. But this team needs Rendon for the balance of the season. If Rendon misses a big chunk of time, then yes, they've already given it away. And the only other reason why I say I think you're overreacting some is because Houston has seemed to sort of right the ship a little bit. They still got a lot of good starting pitching, but I didn't look to see what they did yesterday, but I think going into Sunday, I read that Houston had had like 8 games straight where they'd scored 3 runs or less. So that offense is really – it hasn't really taken off. Kyle Tucker hasn't really gotten hot yet this season. And so those bats haven't really gotten going. And, you know, Altuve's been in and out of the lineup. At one point, they had lost very, very few games while he was in the lineup. And, I mean, he's a very valuable piece. He's kind of the igniter for that team. The depth of the pitching staff and the stars that Houston has make you think they're probably gonna definitely be there at the end, but they have not shown me like a level of dominance that I've seen from them in seasons past. So, I mean, can they be had? Yes, but you're gonna have to play to catch them, right? And I don't think the Angels are out of it, and you know, we're starting to see a little bit of a resurgence from the Mariners. They're starting to bounce back a little bit and play a little bit better baseball as well. So I don't think anybody other than the A's have technically lost that division yet. And I think it's still Houston's to win. But I wouldn't rule the Angels out of it yet.
Yeah, you touched on the Mariners. Their pitching did really well against Houston, actually, this past weekend to really kind of hold them in the fight a little bit. Mike, you wanted me to let you know, Julio Rodriguez currently at the plate. He is 1-for-4 on the night. He's staring down a 2-2 count, top of the 8. There's one man on, one man out. So there's your quick rapid-fire update on Julio Rodriguez. I'll let you know whether or not Marcos Duplan follows the plan or if everything falls apart on him at the mound here.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, a little wordplay. Before we go further, I want to do a little bit more business, remind everybody that the Sports City Chefs, you can join us if you are out there listening to us and you want to call in, share an opinion. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. Again, that's 929-477-2759. Marcos Duprant just blew Julio Rodriguez away, strikes him out. They're now two outs in the top of the eighth. As the Mariners lead the blew him away. He got it a fastball right on the inside corner. Mariners, though, they're comfortable. They're up 9-0 to the top of the eighth. They're probably going to win this game, barring some Orioles magic. And before we jump into the next topic, I want to remind everybody that the Baseball Buffet is brought to you by the PHI Apparel Company. Are you a Phillies fan out there looking for some new threads for when you go to your next game at Citizens Bank Park? Check everything out at PHI Apparel. You're going to love everything they have over there. Great stuff for all Philly. This is the Baseball Buffet. We're in the heart of baseball season. Check out all their Phillies gear. And when you do, use our promo code CHEFS for a nice little discount. That's PHI Apparel, promo code CHEFS. Now, Mike, speaking of...
Wait, one other thing real quick, just another business thing, just so people know. We are a part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can also find us on your smart devices. Ask Alexa to play Sports City Chefs. We're on Spotify and all kinds of places as well. Just type in Sports City Chefs to search for us. You can check out any of our episodes. You can listen to us live. You can check out any of our archived episodes as well. So feel free to check us out. Click, follow, subscribe, like. All that helps us pay the bills and helps us keep us on the air and tells Blog Talk exactly what they have here with us. So if you find our podcast on any of your podcast platforms, just search for Sports City Chefs and make sure you hit that subscribe button. That definitely helps us and pays dividends, and we appreciate it.
Now, Mike, speaking of the Philadelphia Phillies, they're hurting. They're in a bit of a rut here. They're 21-28. They're 11.5 games back of the red-hot New York Mets. They've lost their last four games. They're only 3-7 in their last 10. There's some rumblings in the Philadelphia media that Joe Girardi's job might not be as safe as one might think. Phillies came into this year. They thought they might be pushing for one of those extra wild card spots. And times they've looked like a really good team, like they've looked like a competitor. But now, you know, we're past the quarter pole. Is it a two-part question for you? Is Joe Girardi safe? Is the media just overreacting when they say that his job security should be in question? And the second part of this question, is the quarter pole too early to be making these kind of decisions about manager jobs, whether or not to fire a manager, move on, kind of thing?
So I do think it's a little early, but listen, Philly fans are not known for their patience at all, and or really sticking with. And this team really did some things to try to bolster its lineup. You go get Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber to give your lineup some length, and those guys haven't really been extremely consistent so far. Bryce Harper has been his typical self. Alec Bohm started the season hitting pretty well. You know, they're not getting they're not necessarily getting a lot of length from their starting pitching. This team better be careful. I mean, keep an eye out over the next couple of weeks. I think that if anybody is going to make a run at the Mets in that division, whether it be Philly, whether it be Atlanta, they're going to have to make sure they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat, right? Like, the Braves got 2 out of 3 from the Marlins each of the last two weekends. That's kind of what you have to do if you're going to compete at all in this division. I don't necessarily think that Girardi's job is in jeopardy, but I do think that if they continue to tailspin, if they go 3-7 and then 3-7 again, like, if, you know, if they go 6-14 in the next group of 20 games, And I think anything could possibly happen. I mean, you can't fire the whole team, and so somebody's got to be the scapegoat for it. And sometimes a managerial change midseason can spark a team. So, I mean, we'll see. I think he's going to last because I think this team is going to play some better baseball. I think over the course of the season, you have your ups and downs. I know that the Phillies and the Braves split a four-game set last week, and I think that's, I mean, but if you think about it, those are two of their three wins in their last 10. So I guess apparently this weekend they pooped the bed. So we'll see. That's something to definitely keep an eye on them moving forward is what happens there in Philly.
Yeah,
so my next topic I'll let you comment on Jerome, and then we'll go somewhere else.
Okay. Well, I was just like, the question that I think that needs, it's a good question to raise is, you know, so fire Girardi, if you do fire Girardi now, how does getting rid of him actually improve the team's overall performance? Now, like you said, there are times where you make that managerial change and the new guy comes in and it does provide a little bit of a spark, but the new manager isn't going to change how well these guys play defense. The new manager can't do anything about that bullpen that Dombrowski has for some reason not addressed over the last 3 years. So if you're going to lay the blame at anybody's feet, why would you lay the blame at Girardi's feet instead of, say, Dave Dombrowski's feet? Why should Dave Dombrowski keep his job instead of Girardi keep his job?
Yeah, that's interesting because, they tried with Corey Knebel. I don't know that really moved the needle as much as they hoped it would, you know, as far as being able to fix that bullpen. They've tried a few other arms over the last couple of years, Archie Bradley, a couple of different guys, but they just have not been – they've not been able to find that consistency in that pen. And sometimes that can be a hard thing to fix. Everybody needs arms, right? So, but I agree. I think – that as much of that blame has to go towards Dombrowski as it does Girardi, if not more. Listen, you go get Schwarber, and it does not help that Bryce Harper, you know, has not been able to throw, so he's pretty much been relegated to DH duty. So now you have to put Schwarber in right in left field and Castellanos in right, and Castellanos is a decent defensive outfielder, not what Bryce Harper is, and Kyle Schwarber, I mean, listen, man, he's one of the reasons why they have a DH. he played with the Cubs for a while, but then there was a lot of talk even then, like, he needs to go somewhere where he can be a designated hitter. But he's forced into playing the outfield again right now because of Harper's injury, and that doesn't help, and I think that factors in as well. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around, and I think that, you know, if you're going to make a move on Girardi, I think you have to make a move on Dombrowski as well. And I don't think Philly's going to do that yet.
Yeah. Now, you had another topic that you wanted to
– you wanted another topic that we can address. We got a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to put it, absolutely.
I mean, Trevor Story caught fire. He had – three home runs in one game last week and went 4-for-5. He's starting to come around. Rafael Devers is doing Rafael Devers things. Xander Bogaerts is hitting the ball well. Listen, that's and Kike Hernandez has started to find it. He struggled early on, but he's starting to come around a little bit as well. That is a very tough offense for Boston. I don't know if they're going to be able to pitch enough. We'll see. Eovaldi is kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Sometimes he's really good, and sometimes he gets smacked around. And then Tanner Houck, that group of guys, you know, what do we get out of them? Can they ever get Chris Sale back? Man, that's a contract that I bet they wish they could go back and not sign. Because he just really has not done a whole lot for them since he originally signed on. With the Red Sox, you don't blame them for trying to sign him with the numbers that he was able to put up, you know, over the first few years of his career. But You know, can they pitch enough? I don't know. But that offense is scary. Like, nobody wants to play them.
I'm just going to read off some of their scores from their last several games. So, Monday, they got walloped 10-0 by my Baltimore Orioles. The day before that, Sunday, they won 12-2. They won the first game of a doubleheader on Saturday, 5-3. They lost Friday, 12-8, but they were winning that game 6-0 and 8-2 before the Orioles came all the way back and beat them. Thursday, the 26th in Chicago, 16-7. Tuesday, the 24th, they won 16-3. Sunday, May 22nd, 8-4. 21st, they won 6-5. Now, a lot of these games, outside of that, you know, their offense really came alive. You see their, you know, they start scoring four or five plus runs a game right around Monday, May 16th. Just so happens to coincide with a long homestand where they played Houston, Seattle. They had a three-game series in Chicago where they just went off and scored 16 runs twice over the three games. And then they played five games against Baltimore here over the weekend. So I'm not saying it's all down to Fenway, because obviously you've got a lot of professional hitters. You ran them off. J.D. Martinez is the – what's he hitting, like 409 or something for the month of May? Like ridiculously high batting average for J.D. Martinez. Trevor Story, I believe he leads the American League in RBIs for the month of May after having his really slow start to the season. Rafael Devers tearing the cover off the ball the way he does. The offense has come alive, but I don't think it's any coincidence whatsoever that their offense has come alive in Fenway, which is just a ridiculous offensive park. For as much space as you have out there in right field, with that short porch in left field and these, you know, left-handed batters that are able to just play pepper with that right field wall, it's you have no idea what's going to happen. No lead is safe when you're in Fenway. And before we, like, I'm going to kick it back over to you for more thoughts on the Boston offense and Fenway, but I just want to give a quick update because the Orioles game has taken another amusing turn. Julio Rodriguez, after striking out, was ejected from the game for arguing balls and strikes, so the rookie's going to miss the end of the game. And in response, the Orioles have come out and they have decided to put Chris Owings, position player Chris Owings, on the mound, and he is up here throwing 50-mile-an-hour meatballs to guys to try and get the last three outs of the game. So if you want a little
Chris Owings has been in Arizona, a few other places, and a classic journeyman player that's been able to stick in the league because of his grit, and now he finds himself on the mound. Hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. Well, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but I'm not going to be upset if Chris Owings is not long for the Baltimore roster, and I hope we give his spot to some young guy beyond that. But What are your thoughts? Have you watched, like, how much have you watched the Red Sox, and how much do you think that their current offensive explosion is being influenced by their stretch of home games here that they get?
I mean, I think that Fenway definitely helps, but I do think that some of these guys, listen, I think J.D. Martinez, Trevor Story can hit about anywhere. And so, you know, once these guys get going, they're going to be formidable, whether at home or away. And it's a good thing because they're going to have to outslug people just to keep their heads above water, I think. This is not an extremely impressive pitching staff, and so they're going to have to outslug people. But I do think you're right. I think that, you know, the friendly confines of Fenway Park, if you will, and being able to get home, you know, sleep in your own beds and all that kind of stuff, a lot of times can help. We've seen it before with teams that, you know, a good homestand is kind of the remedy sometimes for struggling, and this has been the case with Boston. So a couple other things that I had, the San Diego Padres, man, like, they're doing all this without Tatis. We talked about Bob Melvin on that being added to that bench early on. I'm impressed with what we're getting out of San Diego. They clearly look like the second best team in that division. Eric Hosmer has rediscovered something. They tried to do everything that they could to trade this guy.
including going and getting another first baseman, you know, to make him even more expendable. But they signed him to a, you know, quite honestly, a much bigger contract than probably he should have gotten. You know, there's all this talk about him being a great clubhouse guy and a great glue guy and whatever else. But he, Eric Hosmer, has really settled in and has really had a good season so far this year for San Diego. And I'm impressed with what I'm seeing out of the Padres. They've got a lot of talent on that team now.
Yeah, they had a great showing against Pittsburgh over the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, won 4-3, got their big walk-off win in the 10th inning after the on Sunday after the Pirates tied it up late. The Pirates really put a little bit of a fight into some of these. I do say
they got a good young pitcher that pitched pretty well the other day too.
Yeah, as bad as the Pirates are, and let's make no mistake about it, they're bad. But they're hanging around with teams a lot more than I expected them to. Kind of like the Orioles. The only difference being they're not. The Orioles, I feel like, were trending. You know that the Orioles are young and they're on this rebuild and they're going in the right. You feel like they had a direction. The Pirates, I kind of came into the season, I'm like, I don't know where you guys are going. I don't know what you're trying to do here. Are we buying veterans? Are we treading water? Are we going young? It wasn't really clear. And then they gave out their extensions to Hayes and some of their other guys. So, but they're surprising me. I don't think that I still don't know where they're going, but I've been relatively impressed from series to series and game to game with how the Pirates have played.
So, and like I said, they got a good young pitcher that just came up and pitched pretty well the other day. I want to take a completely different turn. Nate has no idea that I'm going to do this, but we call this the baseball buffet. So I want to go one other place just to mention this game because I think it warrants at least a little bit of mention, only because of the just ridiculousness of the way this turned out. There was a game in the Pac-12 baseball tournament last weekend between UCLA and I want to say Arizona State. It was one of the Arizona teams, and I want to say it was the Arizona State. UCLA was down 9 runs going into the 9th inning. Came all the way back and tied it. Gave up a run in the top of the 10th, scored another run to tie it, and then in the 11th hit a 3-run home run and won the game. The final score of this college baseball game was 25-22.
I saw that boxer. I did see that boxer, actually. And I meant to say something to you and Dave about it. I believe it was Oregon State. And the reason why it sticks in my mind is because Adley Rutschman is an Oregon State Beaver. That's the only reason that one stuck out to me.
They were down 21-12 going into the 9th inning and were able to put together 9 runs to come back and tie that game. It's hard to score 9 runs in one inning in any level of baseball, let alone at the college level, even with the aluminum bat. So that was just kind of a crazy, like, I remember walking away from that going, okay, Bruins won by a field goal, right? Like, at the buzzer. So the NCAA baseball tournament is starting this weekend. You got the, you know, they changed the format several years ago, so you have 16 four-team double elimination tournaments, and those winners will then move on to play what they call Super Regionals the following weekend. So you'll have 8 series, best 2 out of 3. And then those 8 teams will then go to Omaha for the next weekend and start the College World Series. And the Tennessee Vols are the number 1 seed overall. They finished 25-5 in the conference this year, and a pretty good conference, too. It's one of the best seasons that I can remember a team ever having in the SEC. They go through the tournament. LSU gives them a little bit of a close game. And then Kentucky led them going into the 8th inning, and the Vols erupted for like 12 runs in the last couple of at-bats to just go away in that game, and then they were able to close out the SEC tournament. So they won the regular season. They won the tournament. They're the number one overall seed. And that Tennessee Volunteers team is pretty tough. You got the ACC and SEC are well represented. Big Ten's got several teams in there. But, you know, there's normal suspects in college baseball, but the postseason gets ramped up this Friday in the sport of college baseball.
Did I see that Maryland won the Big Ten regular season, right?
They did, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think
it looks like Michigan won the Big Ten tournament
well. Yeah, Michigan beat Iowa, I think, in the finals of the Big Ten college tournament.
Rutgers.
Okay, yeah. Iowa made my finals in both. But, you know, the interesting thing about these tournaments is they go double elimination, and a lot of them now are turning to single elimination come to semifinals because they're trying to save pitching. They understand the biggest prize is not the conference tournament. It's what you can do after that. So it'll be interesting to see. LSU is going to play at the University of Southern Mississippi, who is one of the 16 number one seeds. And so LSU's got a number two seed there. Is going on. They got a couple of really good. Bats. There's a kid for LSU named Dylan Cruz, hit 21 home runs this year. Hit about 350. Like just a super talented college player. And a lot of people have said that guy's got pro prospect written all over him. But so I will see. I always follow my LSU Tigers. So that kind of covers college baseball. Dave, we got Nate. We got about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes here, and I don't want to butcher the close like I did last time. So is there any other particular baseball topic that you would like to bring up before we get ready to wrap this thing up and call it a day?
You know, I think we've covered most of my topics for it. I'll just sign off with we've mentioned it a couple of times. Check out all of our different shows across the entire family of the Sports City Chefs Network Baseball Buffet. We are here with you every Tuesday night. Check out all the great stuff that's up on the website and the blog, sportscitychefs.com. And one last time, we are brought to you by the PHI Apparel Company. Check that out for all of your Philly-based sports apparel. Use the promo code CHEFS when you're checking out. And with that, I'm gonna kick it over to you, Mike. Take us out with your final thoughts on the baseball world as we sit here at the close of May, beginning of June.
Okay, yeah, and just so you guys know, that's phiapparel.co, not com. Phiapparel.co. So check that out, Chefs, for the 15% discount, man. Really quickly, Braves are starting to wake up a little bit. We'll see if they can keep that going. Mets are playing good baseball, still very good baseball being played by the Dodgers. Of course, that's an all-star team of a lineup that they got going there. Mookie Betts and Trey Turner both having a fantastic season. And we'll see. Trey Turner is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So what will happen there? It'll be interesting to see how that sort of pans out. But real quick, man, I want to give a shout-out to all the chefs that are with us on a regular basis. TP Timeless, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. The Villa, Mr. Barry Jordan, you hear from both of those guys tomorrow night on the Cookout, 9 Eastern time. Also, Sirius Simmons, Pittsburgh's finest. He represents all the area codes out there, man. Clubhouse on Barbershop. Check out the Barbershop on Clubhouse. Come see what we do there. Nice family environment, man. And if you want to talk baseball in Clubhouse, the Baseball Collective rooms at 9 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday night, man. But I've said enough. Thanks for joining us, man. And for all of the Sports City chefs and for PHI Apparel and everybody else that has a hand in this, man, laissez les bon temps rouler and let the good times roll. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great one, everybody. And thanks for listening to the Baseball
Have
buffet.
A great one, Mike. We will see everybody next week.
All right. A lot of fun, Dave. Take it easy, everybody. Nate, I keep saying Dave.